Well, today we pick up our study in 2 Samuel chapter 19, actually 2 Samuel chapter 15. This is our 19th study, though, in the book of 2 Samuel. Chapter 15, verse 12, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's actually go back and begin reading in verse 10. Then Absalom, and I'm afraid I'm not going to go back and explain what we've been looking at, so I'll trust that you've been with us from the beginning, or if you're interested, you can pull up the last study that we did and find out the context of today's message. Verse 10, then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron. So, or Hebron, I should say. Well, you know, Absalom has been plotting this conspiracy to take over the government from his father because he's bitter over his father's bitter attitude toward him. And it was done in public, too. I mean, everybody knew about it. And I think Absalom was disgraced, and he was angry, and he was bitter, and he's going to get his dad back right here. And he sent, as verse 10 says, he sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel. As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron. So people are going to be yelling that all over the nation Israel. And it's going to be a shocker to David and his loyal subjects. Verse 11, and with Absalom went 200 men invited from Jerusalem, and they went along innocently and did not know anything. So these guys just thought they were going down there to worship the Lord. They had no idea that Absalom was going to proclaim himself as the king. Verse 12, then Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileonite, David's counselor from his city, from Gilho, where he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continued to increase in number. So Absalom is gaining a real big following because, remember, you know, he's been flattering everybody and he's been telling everybody, you know, what a great leader he would be and how he would take care of whatever needs that they had. And so he was making all sorts of promises, you know, and humbling himself before the people. And, you know, he's just trying to come across looking like one of the guys and, of course, making a lot of campaign promises that he probably could never keep. But he won the hearts of the people. 13. Now a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. And this message to David might be too little, too late. Not much you can do about it now. But the plot of Absalom has been discovered. 14. So David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. So David is concerned about his safety, and those who were loyal to him thought for sure his son was going to kill him, which maybe he would have, in order to eliminate him from being a rival to his throne. But I think it's interesting also, look at the love that David had for the city of Jerusalem, the capital city, the city that was so important to God. He wanted to leave town because he was afraid that Absalom and his men would hit Jerusalem and destroy it. And so in order to spare the city, he left home. And he would rather not be in that place, even though he loved it. He would rather not be there so that it might be spared. So David had his faults, but he was loyal. He was very loyal. 15. And the king's servants said to the king, we are your servants, ready to go or ready to do whatever my lord the king commands. And, you know, David's followers were very loyal to him. He was a good leader for the most part, and for the most part, he was a godly man. His mistakes have caught up to him, And they always seem to. His sins did catch up to him, just like the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Sooner or later they do. But as a general rule, he was a man after God's own heart, and that's why his followers were so loyal to him. Verse 16. And the king went out with all his household after him, but the king left 10 women, concubines, to keep the house. So he left his, what you would call, secondary wives. Never was in the plan of God or even the will of God, the perfect will of God, for anyone, including David, to have more than one wife. But, like he does with us, he permits us to do things that we shouldn't do because we do have a free will. Thing is, we always pay for it. And there was strife inside of David's house, at least in part, because he had all these different wives. See, you just can't get away with stuff like that. Verse 17, and the king went out with all the people after him and stopped at the outskirts. Then all his servants passed before him, and all the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the Gittites, 600 men who had followed him from Gath, passed before the king, his loyal followers. You know, they're hanging in there with him through good times and bad, always have. Verse 19, then the king said to Attai, the Gittite, why are you also going with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your own place. So here's a guy that wanted to go with David, but David said, now you just stay back here. And look at verse 20. In fact, you came only yesterday. Should I make you wander up and down with us today, since I go I know not where? Return and take your brethren back. Mercy and truth be with you. So David didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where he would be. And, you know, I guess that's fine for him. He was okay with it himself. But he didn't want to subject others that he cared about to that kind of lifestyle. He wanted better things for them. He probably would have enjoyed this man's company because the guy was loyal, and yet he said, no, you just stay behind. I don't want you to be involved. I don't want you to have to deal with what I may have to deal with. And you know, when you really love someone, you want things to be better for them, even if you have to sacrifice their company in order to make it happen. Then in verse 21, but Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely in whatever place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be. So, you know, this guy just would not take no for an answer. He's bound and determined to sacrifice whatever, even his life if need be, to show his loyalty to David. And I guess that's who you know who a true friend is, don't you? And that's how you know if somebody really loves you. Are they willing to sacrifice for you? Because if they aren't, then they don't love you. Love, the definition of love in Scripture is giving. Sacrificing yourself, excuse me, for what somebody else, what would be good for someone else. 22. So David said to Ittai, go and cross over. Excuse me. Then Ittai the Gittite and all his men and all his little ones who were with him crossed over. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook Kidron, and all the people crossed over toward the way of the wilderness. And you got to wonder how David is feeling at this point. Look at the sadness he brought upon all these people who cared about him so much. And it was his fault, you know. Number one, he should have never messed around with Bathsheba. But beyond that, now, the problem with his son, Absalom. And God had said that, you know, the sword's never going to depart from your house. And that certainly happened, and it's continuing to happen. And the sad thing is, probably for David, is that it's affecting the people that he loved. And he did love the people. And, you know, he cared about them, as we've seen. And he wanted things to go well with his loyal followers and with the people that he cared about. And yet it's not. And that's because of his sin. So they are paying for his sin. And he's paying for it twice, with his own suffering and having to see their suffering as well. Sort of like, you know, when he committed his sin with Bathsheba and she became pregnant, well, the baby got sick and died. And it was a horrible time for David. You know, he was being punished himself, and he was also being punished through the death of his child, which was in part punishment for his sin too. So he had to live with the fact that his sin was hurting his own child. Man, if you don't care enough about yourself to avoid sin, think of what it's going to do to those that you love. Love your husband love enough. Love your husband, love your wife, love your children, love your parents enough to stay away from sin so that they don't get the overflow of the consequences of your sin. Sin is very selfish. 24, there was Zadok also, and all the Levites with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they sat down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over the city. Then the king said to Zadok, carry the Ark back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it and his dwelling place. But if he says thus, I have no delight in you, here I am, let him do to me as seems good to him. David knew that he deserved punishment for the bad things that he did. And he didn't even ask for God's mercy. But he did acknowledge that God was righteous to punish him. And if God never gave him another good thing in his entire life, if he wouldn't let him return to Jerusalem, if he never saw the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, his throne room or his throne here on earth again, he said, you know, I don't deserve to see it. And no matter what God does, he's righteous. And so, you know, that was David's attitude. And that should be our attitude too. You know, we should understand, instead of complaining about what we don't have, we should understand and acknowledge to God that we know we don't deserve anything good. Our sin has made us worthy of two things, physical death and eternal hell. And anything good we have beyond that is more than what we deserve. And David understood this. And that's one of the things, one of the reasons why God said, David is a man after my own heart. 27, the king also said to Zadok the priest, are you not a seer? Are you not a prophet? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz, your son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. And look at verse 28. See, I will wait in the plains of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me. Therefore, Zadok and Abiathar carried the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. So David has himself his own personal spy in the city of Jerusalem, in the form of Zadok the priest. And when he got information about Absalom and his whereabouts and what his plans were and how things were going in the city, and he was supposed to send message out to David, and David would then know what to do. It's important that we have understanding if we're going to make the right decisions. It's important that we have truth if we're going to make the right decisions. And that's why it's important to get into the Word of God. Read it every day, study it every day, and that's why I teach it verse by verse. We can't make proper decisions unless we know what the truth is.